Thank you for being here today. Thank you for tuning in and hearing. Those of you that are listening, we've prayed for you. We're believing God's best for you. Thank you for hungering and thirsting after His Word. And He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And all the people said, amen, amen and amen. All right, this is His finished works, is our rest. Our rest. I know it doesn't make human sense, but it's good theology. It's great doctrine. Okay, because our God is an amazing God. And that's what it's about. In Mark 4, and I know we touched on this week. I'm just going to jump off from there. In Mark 4, verses 24 and 25, it says, and he said to them, this is really right after, well, I can't go back there. You got to listen to last week to catch that. And he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. Be careful what you hear. What are you hearing? What are you listening to? What comes into your eye gate and your ear gate the most? Because whatever comes in your eye gate and ear gate the most is what affects you the most. Okay, you say, well, Brother Tim, I have a real life, I work, I have to study, do this and do that. I want to tell you, what matters is what you give your thought and your heart to. What comes in the eye gate and ear gate. I've heard Pastor Don pray for his granddaughter a lot and say, Lord, whatever's there in the school, that after they study and take the test, Lord, that they'll have a holy forgetfulness. You know, of the stuff that they don't need to retain. You understand? I want to tell you, you know, his heart prayer is for the Word of God to be preeminent. Okay? In the life. And so this is what, be careful what you're hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth that you hear. I want to tell you, we could stop there and say renewing the mind. Amen. Will be the measure because it has an effect on what happens to your life. Will be the measure of virtue and knowledge. We could stop there and say transformation. We're renewed. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. I'm telling you, the power of God, that incorruptible seed to transform us, that's real. And if we really believe that to be true, then I want to tell you, this will be a priority of our life, not just on Sunday or Wednesday night, but it'll be a priority of our life every day. I'm telling you, this is exciting. This is what he says will happen, and it comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear. Now, this is so exciting because, you know, what God is saying is that if you take the Word of God, and you meditate on the Word of God, and you give allegiance, good soil to that incorruptible seed, and you see it, you observe it, you cultivate it, you guard it, amen, then I want to tell you, God says more is coming.
Amen.
I want to tell you, Proverbs talks about wisdom being treasure. This is treasure, and it's greater than silver and gold. Now, if we really believe that, I want to tell you, I'll tell you, because men seek after silver and gold. But I want to tell you, he says that this wisdom from God, this revelation, this insight, this life from God that's in the incorruptible seed, that it is treasure. And he's saying that the more you dig, the more you find. And the more you find, the more you will find. Is that exciting? I want to tell you, God makes that true. Man doesn't make that true. God makes that true. And it can be true for every single person that's hearing my voice. For to him who has, will more be given. Do you see it? Hey, it's the principle of being the good steward of the talents. Okay? And from him who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away by force. Now, the by force is already referred to in the parable of the sower ahead of that, where the birds of the air come and take the seed and they take it away. That represents darkness. It represents demons coming to steal away the Word of God. Different ways they do that, but that's what happens. They want by force. I can't tell you how many times people have left a meeting, rejoicing, celebrating, insight, excited about the Lord. And before they even get home, they have a fuss. Okay? And because of the conflict, because that's what happens, conflict comes, and they give it away. It's stolen from them before they even get home. And I want to tell you, if you're not a good steward of it, if you're not meditating on receiving the life of it, applying it, then I want to tell you what you've the insight that you've gotten in the past will be taken away. I can't. You know it's true. These pastors could tell you of people that we know who at one time walked in wisdom and walked in the Word of God, and now you can't hear any life from them. You'd think they never knew Jesus. They don't have it. It's not there. There's no life there. They forget. It's taken away. Jesus wants us to be good steward of the Word. So be careful what you hear is what he's saying. Now there's a lot of, I tell you what, we live in a generation where there's a tremendous amount of preaching, great teaching, great books. It's out there. And it's beautiful, it's exciting, but let me give you a little caution here, because Jesus said to be careful. And I'm not throwing any stones at anybody. I'm just saying to you, be careful. This is what Jesus said, be careful. So, number one, does it stabilize your soul? That's very important. Hey, what I'm saying here, what kind of fruit does it produce? Okay? Because I'm telling you, the Word of God is rock, it's foundation. It'll be foundational to you. Does it stabilize your soul? Because truth stabilizes your soul. Number two, does it encourage your soul? It ought to encourage. If you're just beaten up by it, it could be a problem with the hearer, but I'm telling you, does it encourage you? Hey, here's the big one. Is the focus on Jesus or on man? I'll tell you, that's very, very important. Thank God for self-help ministries. Thank God for steps in this and steps in that. You know, I just say we need all the help we can get. But I want to tell you, the focus needs to be on Jesus and not on man. If the focus is on you, it's not good. It may be a temporary help, but I want you to understand there's a trap coming. There's a stumbling coming. All right, because that's not truth that's going to set you free. It may be truth that'll help you at the moment, but it's not going to be truth that leads you into freedom. Is the answer by grace through faith, or is it law? Because I'm telling you, if the teaching or the preaching says you got to do this, this, and then you got to do this list here in order for you to please God, I want to tell you, that's focus on man, that's focus on self, and that's a trap. Okay? That's not going to lead to life, that'll lead to death. And so is the focus on law, or is it on, by grace through faith? All right, very, very important. Okay, let me tell you a little story that I hope will help you. At Camp Hallsville, where the beautiful blonde and I hang out, I have a little practice. You know, different families do different things. It's okay. It's okay. No, you know, you don't have to do things the way we do it, and we don't have to do things the way you do it. Thank God for freedom in that. But I want to tell you, we have found it to enhance the peace at our house to have separate bathrooms. You don't have to, but it seems to benefit the peace of our house, and we're all about peace. And so I have my little office, she calls it, and she's got the bathroom there in the master bathroom. And but one of the things that I do, and this is Tim, okay, comes back from being raised under an army person, but when I run about, when she runs about halfway out of toothpaste, I take it and I make it mine. It goes to my bathroom and I give her a brand new tube. And so she always has a brand new tube to work, you know, the first half. I take the last half because I am committed to get every penny out of that toothpaste, out of that tube. And my army dad trained me, you do not waste toothpaste. And I'm telling you, muscles are used to squeeze out the last. And it's not that she couldn't do that. She's not as committed as I am. And I honor her with the new tube. I take the old tube and I work it, brother. But see, part of the problem is this, is that I try to do that in the morning. One of the first things I do is brush my teeth. Because I found out my coffee don't taste the same if I don't. And so, man, I am brushing my teeth. But I try to do it in the dark because I'm not ready for the bright light. And so there I am every morning. I'm not trying to paint a picture for you, but I'm just saying I'm taking what's left in that tube and I'm working it in the dark. Okay, well, the other morning, I must have caught everything just right and put a little extra elbow because it just exploded on me. And whatever was left in there comes shooting out all over everything. Well, I want to tell you, it was really funny. I had a mess to clean up, but it was really funny. But as I went in there and started making the coffee, sat down to spend a couple hours with the Lord, I heard the Holy Spirit just whisper to me, "You know what? When we get squeezed, what pops out?" Because really and truly, when we get squeezed and something pops out that's not the Word of God, that's not the fruit of the Spirit, it means that we get the opportunity to sink our root down in the water and receive that nourishment of the Word, that restoration, that renewing of the mind in the Word of God. I'm just sharing with you. What a great day. When we get squeezed and what pops out is the Word of God or the fruit of the Spirit. Now, if something else pops out, it wasn't toothpaste. You understand what I'm saying? And so, you know, that's just an encouragement. What pops out ought to be at least be praise and thanksgiving. All right. Okay. Proverbs is so powerful. The Word of God is so powerful. I have been amazed for decades. I can say that now. I've been amazed for decades that pretty well whatever I'm enjoying the Lord in, whatever section I'm enjoying the Lord in the Word of God, like if it's Proverbs or whatever, the calls that I get for ministry, the answer for their questions, for their needs, is what I was meditating on that morning. I cannot tell you how many times. As a matter of fact, it's happened so much over the decades. I expect it. Okay, I got a call way past my bedtime the other night. It was after 9 o'clock. I love the Lord, and I love people. Try to make it before 8, people, if you're going to call me. Pastor Don, before 9. Pastor James, before 10. Pastor Tony, before midnight. Just to give you a little sample there. Well, this was after 9 o'clock. I got one of these calls, and it was a kind of a tough call. And I said, wait, I'm going to get up. I'm going to go in there because I want to tell you that was in what I meditated on this morning right there in Proverbs. I was able to line up for this person two or three scripture that applied to the very situation that they were talking about. You know why that's true? Because the Word of God is alive. The Word of God is alive. But I want to tell you what the Lord wants to do is that thank God you have pastors. Okay, I hope you have all their numbers. But thank God you have pastors. But I want to tell you something. The Lord wants to minister this to you personally. And you, in the Word of God, I want to tell you the Holy Spirit can apply that Word to you. You can have a foundation of that even before you get out there in the storm. You don't have to wait till the storm hits to try to seek shelter. I want to tell you there's some truth there. Very few Christians let the Bible get in the way of what they believe. I need to let that settle in a little bit. Matter of fact, I'll say it again. Very few Christians let the Bible get in the way of what they believe. I'm amazed sometimes about what believers are talking to me about situation, not just in the church. I'm talking about outside of the church. I minister to more people than what's here today. But what the deal is, I'll ask them, where did you get that at? Okay? I had a pastor's wife tell me one time that all babies go to hell. What? That's what she said. She said, all babies go to hell. I said, don't say that. She said, it's true. I said, well, what scripture says that? And she began to kind of, you know, well, I think, I feel, and I believe. And I said, well, wait. So you mean David was excited about going to hell? King David was? Well, no. Wait. He said, after his little one died, he got up to rejoice and to celebrate the goodness of God. And they quizzed him on it. And he said this. He said, I this baby cannot come to where I'm at. But I can go where that baby is. And I will one day. And I said, so you're saying King David was excited about going to hell? No. Okay. Well, let's talk about something else. Okay. Now, this person was pretty intimidating, and they corrected me on some other things. But I want to tell you, it's amazing what comes out of people's mouths. I tell you what I'm constantly surprised about is people that are upset and disturbed, and they call me, and I say, what's the deal? What's the deal? Where did this come from? Well, so-and-so said to me. So-and-so said to you. Well, who are they? You mean to tell me that you're going to base your Christian life, the joy and the peace and the love of Jesus in your life, you're going to surrender that to what one person said about you that doesn't even make sense? Hey, who do we esteem? I want to tell you something. When we esteem the Word of God and then that junk comes, it don't land. If it does, it don't land long. I want to tell you, when Christians don't let the Bible direct what they believe, then it's easy for the enemy to talk them out of what God wants them to do. God wants to do. I hope you caught that. We must be convinced of His Word, and we got to be convinced of His love. I'm going to say it to you like this. When the beautiful blonde and I go shooting, and I want to tell you, she's a great shot. Way to go. That makes it a lot more fun when we shoot, because now I can just pretty well sit back and just have fun with it. But one of the things I tell her before we shoot, name it. You know what I mean when I'm telling her to name it. Which target are you shooting at? Because when you shoot and it's one of them gets it, oh yeah, that was me. No. Name it. Okay, name it. And so she will. She'll name it. I'm hitting this right here, and she does, and it's good. But I want to tell you a little secret. Christians, if we shoot at nothing, we'll hit it every time. We've got to be more determined with the Word of God and centered on Jesus with the Word of God. 365 times in the Bible, it says, do not fear. I think that's one for every day. I don't think that's an accident, but I'm just telling you. It's mentioned a lot, do not fear. One time it says to fear, that we need to fear. You ready? You want to see what God says we need to fear?
Yeah.
Hebrews 4:1. Therefore, while the promise of entering His rest still holds, still available, and is offered today. Somebody say 2018. Let us be afraid. Whoa, God's saying, let's fear something. Let's see what He says to fear. Let's fear lest any of you should think that He has come too late. What is He talking about? Entering His rest. I'm reminding you that His rest is the position of your heart in believing. Coming to the place of believing and receiving from the Lord. Believing. Entering His rest. That we come too late. Entering His rest, or has come short of it. We believe that we have. Because I want to tell you, it's a lie of the enemy that says it, that says to you, it's too late for you. It's a lie of the enemy that says, it won't work for you. All right, now look. Tim Hall has missed in the past. But because I've missed in the past doesn't mean I have to miss today. I don't have to miss tomorrow. You don't either. As a matter of fact, the Bible emphasizes today if you hear His voice. Today if you hear His voice. Don't harden your heart. If you don't harden your heart, you soften your heart. That's what repentance is. You surrender to the Lord. You're sensitive to the Lord. So let's today and tomorrow position our heart to receive rest. That's the place of believing. Now, if you try to accomplish this by your works or by yourself, I'm just going to say this, that whatever you do by works and self has to be maintained by works and self. And it has to be more and more and more. Woo! I tell you, that ends in burnout. Really does. Hebrews 4:11, look what he says. Let us therefore be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter into the rest. Now look, we're talking about the rest of God, the place of belief. Hey, if there's one thing we need to labor on, we need to labor and focus and concentrate on entering into the rest of God. That's our labor. That's our goal. That should be our focus, to come to the place of rest, the place of belief. Look, happens right here between the eras, between in the mind.
Yes.
Okay? We come to the place of rest. And so that's our battle. Now, when I say zealous, now I want to tell you that's a very interesting word, but it's a person being very determined and very committed. But at the same time, let me rush to say this. It doesn't mean an emotional state. There are some denominations that I've had the joy of ministering to that have misconstrued this to thinking that if you get in a certain emotional state that you're at the place of belief. No, 1,000 times no. You can be so emotionally wound up spiritually and it all just be praise the Lord and hallelujah, and by the time you get home it can be out the window. It's not determined by an emotional state. Matter of fact, it don't have to have anything to do with emotion. You can be emotionally bankrupt and come to the place of rest in the Lord. Now, you may have a chill bump. You may have emotional well-being. That's okay, but it's not based on that. And that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about a matter of the heart and not a matter of emotion. In order that no one... See, enter the rest of God to know and experience it for yourselves. It's not enough to know that Pastor James is walking in rest at the moment. That's not enough. You need to walk in it.
Yes.
It's for you personally. So that no one may fail or fall or perish by the same kind of unbelief and disobedience into which those in the wilderness fell. Now this is a very clear example that disobedience is a result of unbelief. Okay. Thank you for catching that. So our part is to labor and to rest. It's the place of believing. And his finished works manifest in our behalf. That's what happens. His finished works work. This is another t-shirt sermon. And it goes like this. Believe and receive or doubt and do without. Believe and receive or doubt and do without. When we labor, and I'm just going to... I can't write this in concrete, but this is kind of... I believe this is true in principle in the Word, and I know it's true by my experience, and so I want to just kick this out to you to think on. I've noticed that when I labor to make something happen, it seems like the Lord backs up. It's like, okay, you're going to labor? Oh, you're going to toil the soil? You're going to make, okay. I'm going to rest while you do that. But when I come to the place of rest in the Lord, place of believing,
yes.
His finished works work.
Yes.
A whole lot better than what I could have ever done. Okay? Do I need to repeat it? You got it?
Yes.
When we labor and do our works, He rests. When we rest, His finished works work. And so, what I'm challenging the body of Christ, let's not coast along in the natural. I know that's normal. Let's not be subnormal. Let's be the normal of walking in the Spirit. Let's believe for more. Let's walk in the Spirit. We can be mighty in spirit because that's what the Lord's entrusted us with. We have the very fullness of God in us. So I'm trying to encourage you. Don't be discouraged. This is to be a message of hope, and it is if you see Jesus. If you look at your past or if you look at me, you can be disappointed or discouraged. Hey, look past me and see Jesus. And while you're there, look past yourself and see Jesus. Romans 5:17 says this, "For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one," his name was Adam, "much more surely," oh, that is so good, "much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, His unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness that puts them in right standing with Himself." You see, this is the gift. This is what He paid for. Crucifixion, resurrection. This is what He won for us. Great grace, where it's already provided, and the gift of righteousness, which He gives us His righteousness. It's not ours, it's His. And when we practice these two, they hold hands. And we, as a result, reign as kings in life through Jesus. Not our works, but the works of Jesus. We reign in this life. And so Satan lies, because that's his main deal. He's a liar. And he lies, and he tries to tell believers, this is not for you. You're not holy enough. You're not spiritual enough. You don't deserve it. But I want to tell you, by grace that he provided, by the gift of righteousness that he provided, even though we don't deserve it, we get it. I love that. That's the gospel. And so, the enemy's a liar. We're not disqualified. As a matter of fact, Jesus qualified us. I want to try to make this very, very personal, because I want you to leave with it. And I'm going to get it. Say it just like this. There's nothing wrong with you. That's what the enemy says. He said, you don't deserve it. You don't get it. You don't qualify. I'm telling you, by the blood of Jesus, he qualified you. Hey, personal. Write this on the tablet of your heart. There's nothing wrong with you because of what Jesus has done. His blood removes all stumbling blocks. If you've accepted Jesus, there's something right with you. Jesus gives you the gift of rightness. That's what righteousness is. It's his rightness. Okay? And so we can approach boldly. We can practice this. Keep on receiving. We can practice approaching his presence with thanksgiving, because we have the gift of his rightness. And so we can rest. And according to verse 17, we practice the grace of God and the righteousness of God, we rest. It's the position of your heart believing. And so as you approach the Lord, it's important to anticipate great peace. Hey, we anticipate great peace because he paid the price for us to have peace. And he gave us the gift of rightness, so that we can receive the peace. And he paid for it, for us to receive the peace. And so when you approach the Lord, you anticipate peace. Amen. Well, Brother Tim, when do I do that? Well, when you recognize you don't have it. Come on. Yeah. Go receive the gift. Because he's provided it by grace. He's given us the gift of rightness to receive it. To boldly approach and receive it. And we practice this. Don't wait till a crisis happens till you practice this. You practice this every day, through the day, through your walk, during the night. Practice. Okay? And then when something big happens, you're there. You're already worn a trail to receive by grace and because of the gift of righteousness. And because it makes a big difference. Sometimes we confess and pray, and this is our zealous labor to get to the place of peace or the place of rest in the Lord, the place of believing. That's good. All right? But I want to tell you, it makes a big difference that when we're at the place of rest and then we confess his word out of a heart of rest versus a troubled heart, wow, things happen. I'm telling you, things happen. It's amazing the power flow that takes place when we're resting and seeing his works. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about swimming in his word. And I've talked to the teens. I'm not exposing them. I'm using their swimming example from the other day, because the Holy Spirit would just, I'm telling you, was just preaching, teaching me while they were swimming. And you know what you'll find out if you're swimming in the word? That he'll show you all kind of pictures. He will. But I'm watching the teens swim the other night. And it was real sweet, because the first night that Sydney was there, it was in her heart to swim, but she didn't swim that first night. They weren't, no swimsuit. But you could tell it was in her heart. So other teens were in the pool, and boy, I want them to be loud. I want them to have fun. I hope they're having so much fun they disturb your class, because I love to hear the joy. Pastors and parents love to hear the joy. And so, but I could tell her heart was to get in the water. We need to swim in the Word. You may not be, but listen to this. As the night went on, she got closer and closer to the water. Yeah. Next thing I know, she was right up against the water. You could tell the smile on her face. She was in her mind. See, she wasn't in there. And then I turned around just a little bit, because I keep an eye on them. I turned around just a little bit, and she was sitting on the side of the pool, and her feet were in the water. Now, I want to tell you, next week, it was this past Wednesday, she was all in.
Amen. Yes.
Okay. Now, I want to tell you something. That represents some believers. I want to encourage you, swim in the Word. You may have been surrounding it, watching other people enjoy the benefit of it. Get in the water. Get in the Word. Okay? And once you get your ankles in the water, you're going to see how good it is. You want to swim in the water. And the Lord wants to draw you in the water. Hey, look. Joseph, Wednesday night, I was encouraging him, man, you get in there and go for it, man. He said, hey, Papa T, I don't swim, you know. I don't swim too good. I said, that's okay. I said, don't let that keep you from having a blast. This is your end right here. Shallow end, diving in, this is your end. Buddy, you get in there and have a blast. Don't let that hinder you. And there's Christians that say, that, you know what, I just don't understand everything. I just don't know how everything works. I just don't know what to do. I don't know how it works. I want to tell you something. Get in the Word. Don't let not knowing how hinder you. Get in the Word and have a blast in the Word and enjoy the Word, and you know you're going to benefit. Now I want to tell you one of the things that happens is that, let me talk about Karina a little bit. Because Karina, I was sharing last year, she was my little dolphin. And it really tickled the far out of me, and I got such a kick out of it because the boys, because our heater don't have a pool, and most of the time during the summer, it's still kind of, what did I say? Oh, time out. Okay. Our pool don't have a heater. And even though we live in the great state of Texas, we've got a lot of oak tree over our pool, and it can be cool even during summer. Now, the other week when it was 110, the water was warm. But on normal days, even during the summer, it's a little refreshing. I call it refreshingly cool. But the boys would get in. Oh, it's so cold. So unmanly. It's so cold. And Karina would walk over to the diving board. And you know what? The water wasn't cold after that. Because she had immersed herself. Someone listening? She had immersed herself in the water of the Word, the picture I'm talking about. Now I want to tell you something. This year, she's not in the water. Now, she knows. I mean, we've talked about this. She knows me. Hey, you're free to swim. You're free not to swim.
Amen.
That don't have anything to do with me enjoying you. I love you, right, whether you swim or not. And I want to say this to saints. If you never swim in the Word, I love you. As a matter of fact, I learned a long time ago that those that don't swim in the Word, they need a pastor more than those that do.
Amen.
So, you know what? If you never swim in the Word, I love you. It's not a test of fellowship with me. The Lord loves you. I love you. Okay? But I want to tell you something. And what she does do, she serves the others because she helps me with the dogs. Hot dogs, those of you listening on the podcast. And waters my trees. You know, she's a helper to me. But I want to tell you something. There's something about getting in that pool where it's kind of cold. Now, Joseph, this is your first time to get in there Wednesday. Was it a little cold for you? Was it a little surprising? You weren't mentally prepared. As a matter of fact, he was hollering about it. And his sister comes over and grabs his cheeks and says, you're okay. Okay. I was just laughing. But the Holy Spirit was teaching me so much. But listen to me. There's some of you that get in the Word and you're uncomfortable. Because it's out of your comfort zone. You don't know what to expect. You don't know what's going to happen. It don't feel right. Don't seem right. I want to tell you something. Stay in and immerse yourself in the Word and in the water of the Word until you embrace it. Because I want to tell you something. The Word will embrace you. Okay? Now, it don't take too long for them to be in the water. Tell you know what? You don't hear anything else about it being cold. It's all good. And that's what we love to hear from the saints. And all the pastors said,
amen.
Amen. So, get acclimated to the Word of God. Approach Him in the Word like you're opening a present. This picture. Mr. Heath's birthday is coming up. I know it is because it's close to mine, and I do. I try to prefer him. I get celebrated every day, and he's a celebrated man, but I want him to especially be celebrated. Honor him, the role he has. I really do. He knows I do. This is real. But I want to tell you something. We get him a present. It's sitting out there in front of him. It's all wrapped up. He's looking at it. But you know what? He may not be showing it with his face so much, but there's an anticipation on the inside of him.
Yeah.
I want what's inside. It's something good. Now, he knows if it's for me, it might be something funny, but it's something good. Okay? And I want to tell you something. We need to approach the Word of God like it's a wrapped present. Because Proverbs says it's treasure for your life. And when you know that there's a present there, you approach it with anticipation of good. Anticipation of joy. Anticipation of being loved on and celebrated. That's the way you approach the Word of God. And you get in there deep enough to take the wrapping off, and you see it's better than the wrapping. It's treasure for you. I'm not doing a study in this series on why we don't receive. Even in the healing series that's coming, because I'm working on it now, I'm not doing a study on why people don't get healed or about the timing, because I don't know. Let me say it a couple times to everyone listening. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Okay? But there's a few things I do know. I'm not going to focus on the why not. Because the focus on the why not is the focus on the enemy, and it's the focus on man. I'm not going to benefit going there. You're not either. Okay? I do know this. Let's put the focus on Jesus. Because Jesus is the healer, man's not. Jesus is the healer. Let's focus on the yeses and not on the why nots. I do know that condemnation kills. Bible says so. I do know that guilt hinders and does not help. I will point out what the Bible says, because the Bible does point to unbelief. But here's the thing about unbelief. It's not a lifetime sentence. Okay? That's why there's repentance. Let's rejoice and be enthusiastic that an unbelieving mindset can easily be redirected because of His mercy and grace. Somebody say amen. His grace and gift of righteousness will cause us to reign in this life. That's what Bible says. And if we're reigning in Christ, the enemy is not ruling in our life. Well, I tell you what, that's a sentence sermon all by itself. If we're reigning in Christ, grace and the gift of righteousness, if we're reigning in Christ, the enemy is not ruling in our life. I did not say the enemy is not attacking. I did not say he wasn't resisting. I was speaking to a minister the other day, and I was talking to him about, we need to not settle for partial freedom. We need to walk in full freedom. And he backed up and said, whoa, 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 what is your definition of freedom? I said, really? This is a minister. I said, wait, let me share something with you. The Bible description of freedom is that sin has no rule over us.
Amen.
Sin has no power over us.
Amen.
Doesn't mean that we're perfect. Doesn't mean that we don't get tempted. Don't mean that we can't fall. But for sin to have rule over us, that's not freedom.
Amen.
When we do have freedom, sin doesn't rule over us. Okay? That's the Bible description. And I told him this. I said, when you experience what it is, you'll know what it's not. Freedom. When you taste what it is, you'll know what it's not. That was a big amen. Okay, well, that really ministered to me. Okay. Now, someone told me it's a while back. The time's not important. But they said this. They said the body of Christ has no clue how many well-known ministers are struggling with secret sin. That's what they told me. Well, the first thing that hit my mind is, how would you know? Okay, I didn't go there. Because, I don't get into talking about other people's stuff. Let's talk about what Jesus is and what Jesus done. We don't benefit by knowing people's struggles like that. But I told him this. I said, look, I'm not shocked or surprised. But let me tell you something. It don't matter how many well-known ministers are struggling with secret sin, because it doesn't make it right. It's not right. We got compassion for people that struggle. We comfort people. We encourage them. But we also challenge them to receive grace. Okay? And we challenge them to believe God for more. But I want to tell you, if there's any example, it's Noah. Noah was so outnumbered. He was walking in the righteousness. Noah means rest. And he received and walked in the favor of the grace of God. His name means rest. That ought to say something to us in this series. But what happens is, let's renew our mind. No matter who you are, or how well known you are, let's renew our mind and let's practice by grace through faith. Because out of faith, faith springs up out of the Word of God. So Mark 11:24, for this reason I'm telling you, whatever you ask in prayer, rest. You see it? This is what we're talking about, the place of believing. Whatever you ask for in prayer, rest. Come to the place of belief, trust and confident in the Lord, that it is granted to you and you will get it. And so the emphasis of Scripture is that you come to the place of rest before you receive. You believe that you receive when you pray, not waiting for the results to show up. Does that speak to anybody? That's Bible. That's what Bible says. Believe that you receive when you pray, not when you see the results. 1 John 5:14-15, and this is the confidence, the rest, the assurance. Do you hear rest? The confidence, the rest, the assurance, the privilege of boldness that we have in Him. We are sure. Wow. That if we ask anything, make any request according to His will, in agreement with His own plan, He listens to and He hears us. And if since we positively, somebody shout rest, in the rightness of God, we know that He listens to us in whatever we ask. We also know with settled and absolute knowledge, somebody said we have confidence in God, that we have received. We have received. And yes, we rest in the finished works of Christ. It's by His grace. Listen if this sounds like that. Granted us as our present possessions. Before it's received, it's granted us as our present possessions, the request made of Him. Grace is already there by the works of Jesus, finished works. Faith is our yes response to what is already there. I hope you see that. I hope I'm not rushing past that. Whereas this one Christ, after He had offered a single sacrifice for our sins that shall avail for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. Now when this is birthed in your spirit and you meditate on and see this is real, that it's already been provided for, we come to the place of rest and we receive what He has already provided before it even shows up. Once and for all, for all time. And now He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Somebody say He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Once and for all times, Jesus sacrificed for us. And then verse 13, right after that, says, then to wait till His enemies should be made a stool beneath His feet, a footstool. Now, without a doubt, at the end of the age, He's going to come physically and set the enemies of this earth, the enemies of man, this earth, under His feet. He will set it in divine order. That's going to happen. But until then, it's his bride's position, the joint heir, the co-heirs with Christ as the church, the bride of Christ, the believers, to practice the place of victory by faith. Hey, by grace, the gift of righteousness, application by faith to receive what's in the invisible into the visible. It's called reigning training. That's why we're still here. We're reigning, okay, to rule with Christ. And so this is the picture of it right here. And so, Tim, come on up. And Kirk, y'all help me put the chairs up there. And let's do this right quick because we want to get this in this week. I like to preach past it again. But I want you to see this because this is what the enemy does. He sneaks up and he lies to us. And he sneaks up to us. Yeah, y'all back it up just a little bit because I got to have this. Yeah, y'all doing great. Okay, Tim, you go ahead and get in the Jesus chair. And understand that Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father. So here's the great throne, God the Father here. The Bible pictures Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. And I want to tell you, the Bible says that we're seated with Christ. In other words, we're seated with Him. First Lady, why don't you come up and be the church? You be the bride of Christ. And sit right here. You may need a little help getting there. Okay. And so here you are. Okay? Seated right at the right hand of Christ. Now the enemy comes up and we have a heartbreak, offended, grieving, rejected, and disappointed. And the enemy says, this is you.
Right.
This is you. Okay? He comes up, condemnation, addiction, past failure, guilt, quit, failure. He says, this is you. He's a liar. He comes up and says, hey, fear, stress, worry, insecurity, anxiety, fear, this is you. See, that's what he says. Sickness, burnout, pain, distress, weakness. He says, this is you. And he designed it to be a burden to us. And so we wear this on top of our back. And we're going through life like this. And it's a burden. It hurts. It's loud. It speaks to us. It identifies us. And it's a burden and it weighs us down. And it keeps us from walking in all what God has for us and with others and our responsibilities and the benefits. And we're burdened down. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do.
But Jesus said, hey, finished works, the cross and the resurrection. He said, it's finished. And he said, so now, if you've accepted Christ, this is illegal. Bride of Christ, you practice what I've done. He said, I pass it on to you. And he said, you bring your burden unto me. And so now we take the burden. Would you move the pulpit over for me, Pastor? Leave the notes right there because I still need them. There you go. Way to go. So, hey, it's very, very important that we take the burden. He said, bring your burdens unto me. Cast your care upon the Lord. And so we bring our burden to the feet of Jesus and said, the enemy lied to me, and he called this a burden. But the Bible says, because of the cross and resurrection, this stuff's been paid for. The victory over this has been paid for, and it's underneath his feet. This is the position. It's under his feet. And so it doesn't have to be here on our back, heavy on our heart. We come and present it to his feet. And the Bible says that we cast our care upon him and he tenderly cares for us. Now some people run off before this happens. Practice his presence by grace, through faith, grace, the gift of rightness, and receive the TLC from Jesus and stay there until you're renewed. And you're restored and you're touched by him. Every how long it takes, he's worth it. You're worth it. And we practice receiving right here. And then he says, hey, you've been set free. Hey, the Bible says we're more than conquerors.
Right.
We're overcomers.
That's right.
The Bible says that he always causes us to triumph. Okay? Hey, the Bible says that we're heirs to promise. That we're a child of promise. that we are a co-heir, a joint heir, a co-heir in our position with Christ. And so Jesus says, hey, what's under my feet? Under your feet. Get it over there, sister. Come on, bride of Christ. It's under your feet too. Woo! That's a position of victory. That's you. Now, when the enemy says that this sickness and this heartbreak and this condemnation and guilt and all that junk, when he says that you, he a liar. So we got not to believe the lie. Let's give our allegiance and renew our mind to what Jesus says about it. Let's practice by grace through faith the gift of righteousness, putting it under Jesus' feet and letting Jesus minister to us and be ruling and reigning with Christ. This is reigning training. Hey, this is reigning training. And by this, the world will know Jesus is real and Jesus is on the throne. And because Jesus is on the throne, this is a position of victory. It's also a position of power. It's also a position of authority. And that's who we are in Christ. Co-heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Let's give them a hand. Let's praise the Lord for this picture. I'll just do it from right here above. So, now look. Our part is to have the throne attitude. Not a defeated attitude, because that's what the enemy says, and he's a liar. Our part is to agree with the Lord and have a throne attitude about this. And so when stuff comes your way and you recognize, sometimes in life, you know, this journey, all of a sudden we recognize, I got a burden on my back. I don't know how I got there. When did this happen? But I'm burdened. When we recognize that, we're to take it, put it under the feet of Jesus, receive the TLC from the Lord, and recognize that this is a throne attitude. This junk is not mine. It's under my feet. Whatever's under his feet is under your feet. Okay, let me explain something that happens. This is part of what Isaiah, my grandson, taught me. And it goes like this. Grandson Isaiah was fighting the battle of leukemia. And the doctors had said, if he makes it past Christmas, he may see some more. You know, it was a battle of life and death. And so I'm praying, I'm crying out to the Lord, believing, trusting the Lord. But I want to tell you something. I had trouble when it came to him. Listen to me. I could pray for somebody else's kid. Somebody else's grandson. You know? Hey, I want to tell you what's in here. Throne room. Word of God. Jesus Christ suffered for this. He paid the price for this. I could pray over them by faith. I've had the joy of seeing people healed. I mean, not a whole lot, but I'm telling you, I've seen some things happen that were just so much Jesus. Such a blast. So excites me about what's happening here and what's going to happen here. Amen. But I want to tell you something. When it came to Isaiah, man, the emotion of it ripped me. And I want to tell you what it's like. And probably you'll understand this more than anyone else here. Most triggers are at 5 or 6 pound pull. Most triggers on weapons. I like a lighter trigger than that. I like mine to be around 3 or 4 pounds. But I want to tell you something. I have a shotgun that just right by me when I sleep. It's a sawed-off shotgun, legal length, barely, quarter of an inch, legal length. But I want to tell you something. This shotgun has a hair trigger. Okay? You don't ever cock this one. I've told her. You don't ever cock this one unless you're fixing to shoot. Because this one's dangerous. Such a hair trigger is dangerous. Because, you know, it'd be dropped. You know what happened. Drop. It'd fire off. And you just get near it. I'm telling you. It's a hair trigger. But you know what it is? Wait. People that we love and care for and are connected to and invested in, they become a hair trigger for the enemy. Because we're so emotionally wrapped up in them that when we start to pray, we're not praying the word by faith. Our first reaction is emotion. Okay? So I want to tell you. I'm just going to tell you this. The more that we worry and are anxious, have anxiety about someone or something, it seems like the more happens there. We back up. Listen. We back up and practice rest. Hey, zealously. Fighting for our laboring to the place of rest. And we come to the place of rest. And this is part of what Isaiah has taught me. Come to the place of rest concerning him or concerning our loved one or whatever the enemy uses as a hair trigger. We come to the place of rest. And we have confidence in the Lord. And I want to tell you, it don't matter what it is. You may think this sounds a little cruel. I told a man that called me for prayer the other day, leukemia. And I told him, I said, look, this is nothing but a little snack for Jesus. Okay? But I want to tell you, the place of rest takes away the emotion of it, where we're esteeming the Lord and His Word and His promises over the emotion of the moment. Do you see that? I'm telling you, in the place of rest, the place of believing, is a place of receiving. Now, I've actually had people tell me before, well, I want to tell you, hey, brother, you're just insensitive to my struggle. You just don't understand my struggle, what all I go through. You know, you're just a little insensitive to that. My answer is this. It sounds insensitive, my answer. But it goes like this. You're insensitive to the suffering He paid for your healing and your salvation.
Tell the truth.
That's right.
I spent a whole day Friday on the resurrection. And I want to tell you, whether I use it in this series, I thought I would. Now, I don't know. But it comes out in a one sentence, and it goes like this. His resurrection was the receipt. The receipt for everything that He paid for. That He's given to us. I'm coming out of Wally World the other day. A little lady stopped me. She said, I'm checking you. Help yourself. I've done a lot of pat downs, but I hadn't been patted down in a while. And she said, no, I'm looking at your stuff. Give me that receipt. Sure, help yourself. There was confidence in me. I was at peace. I wasn't disturbed because I had assurance that receipt showing that everything was paid for.
Yeah.
She looked through that little sack, checked everything out. She said, you're good to go. I said, I know it.
Yes.
Now, I want to tell you, when the enemy says, it ain't paid for you. You don't deserve it. You hadn't earned it. It ain't you. Hey, look, no. That burden's you. I want to tell you, the receipt is the resurrection. We take the resurrection because in the resurrection He proved everything that He paid for, because the Bible says, and this is part of that sermon, the Bible says that if He had not risen from the dead, we would still be in our sins. But since He rose from the dead, it's covered, it's paid for, it's done. And He's our victory. And we're seated with Him in heavenly places. One of the things I started to do but didn't do, and I'll just tell you the picture of it. I started to have some white athletic tape. And for the invitation, we were going to have you come up and say, what is it that's been your burden? And you tell us, we were going to write it on that tape and stick it on the bottom of your shoe. I've shared with you about this. You remember, don't you? Put it on the bottom of your shoe and have you walk out. This is under my feet. Because it's under the feet of Jesus. I'm stomping on it, and it's under my feet. That's a defeated foe.
Yes, amen.
There are parts of the world right now, from soldiers I've talked to, that when they would walk down the street, that everybody would show them the bottom of their foot. Because in that part of the world, they still remember the story, the heritage that goes behind this. Okay? It's not a pleasant sign. But I want to tell you, the enemy's a defeated foe. Put it on the bottom of your feet. Your walk. That's victory. That's our place. That's what He's won. That's what we get to receive. By grace, through faith. gift of righteousness. We receive. Let's practice receiving. That's our part. Holy Spirit brings us into the revelation. He grows us into it, brings us into it. Light turns on. But I want to tell you, don't say it's complicated. Don't say it's big mystery. Because I want to tell you, I've prayed with people that just received Christ that got it. So we may have to unlearn. It may be a struggle wrestling with unbelief. We may have to unlearn some things that we've been taught by religion. But I want to tell you, Jesus says that he paid the price. It's finished. Let's stand right now. I went a little bit over. Thank you for your patience. I went a little bit over. But I want us to pray for people this morning. And I understand I went a little bit over. If you need to go, you're free to go. There's no condemnation of this. No guilt on it. I understand if you need to go, go. There's no repercussion of that. But for those of you that want prayer, I'm asking the pastors and wives to come up and whoever helps us with prayer. Angelique, if you could come up. Thank you, thank you. And we're going to pray. And I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I saw a picture of this. I'm going to take this little box. And you know, this is a picture. It's just a picture. And when you get to heaven and you see the throne room of Jesus, you're going to say, well, it wasn't a very good picture. But it's just a picture. But I'm setting this down right here. And the Lord showed me that some people need to come up and just by faith, they need to sit down there and practice the throne room attitude. The throne room attitude. And put your feet on top of this little box representing the burden that the enemy has said is yours. I'm praying for you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we release great grace on this meeting. Lord Jesus, we say yes to your yes. Thank you for the power of the finished works. And Lord, by grace, through faith, we release them and we receive them in this meeting. And we stand against every lie of the enemy, all guilt, condemnation, all religious wrong teaching. And we renounce it in the name of Jesus. Lord, we renounce all unbelief. Lord, we repent from unbelief. And we turn our heart towards you. Great grace be on this meeting and on these precious people. In Jesus' name, amen. Come